So welcome to our pre-show for this Wednesday, the 21st, and I'm back from Mexico, but I had an idea. You know, one of the things we haven't done with our podcast is use it to really pitch the archives, to really sell the archives. I got a thing on right now on the NFL channel. It's the story of John Randall, who is one of my favorite football players of all time, because he was such a gutsy guy, and from where he came from. And I'm sitting here trying to watch this, and I better not. I know, I'll tape it. Yeah! Let me rewind this, man. Let me rewind back to the beginning. A Football Life, John Randall. Very good, very good, very good. That's what I'll do. I'll tape it. John Randall was a brilliant defensive tackle for the Minnesota Vikings, and he came from absolute fucking abject poverty. I mean, you wouldn't believe it. Is this it? Yeah. Three times and set records. He came from brutal poverty with a father that actually lived near them with another family. So he had children with John Randall's mother and with some other woman, and the other woman's kids were the ones that were the beneficiaries of whatever money this guy made, and the Randall kids. Anyway, I'm not going to go a big long thing, but he wound up with the Minnesota Vikings, as you may know, if you're a football fan, and was just a devastating defensive tackle, and you know, wasn't drafted. Really, even when he got into football, he had to. I'm going to just tape it from this point. Okay, is it taping? Frankie says you picked the wrong insurance plan. No, I picked the wrong insurance company. No. All right. Good commercial. Well, I think I'm taping it. I hope and pray I'm taping it. Okay, so I thought I'd do today a retrospective on the show and play characters as they were invented. Now, the first character I know was Raj Fanin. The second character was Margaret Gray. The third was Ed Woosnee, who eventually became Steve Nichol, who eventually became Art Griego. I'm pretty sure the fourth character that I invented was Bud Dickman, only then his name was Dave Delwagen.
And he talked like, my name is Dave Delwagen, and this is Dave Delwagen.
Sort of a cross between Jeff Dowder and Bud. But he wasn't really Bud, but he was Bud because he filled the same, you know, role in the show. Then came Raj Fanin, not Raj Fanin, then came Pastor William Rennick, but he wasn't Pastor Rennick yet. He was just some generic black guy doing a really offensive bit that, if you remember KFI, we had a bit called N-Words in Space that, you know, Howard Neal, rightfully so, told us don't do that bit anymore. And he was right. I mean, I was kind of free with the word. But the bit survives, I think, in our archives in KFI days. And we did it at KVEN way back in 91. But in terms of actual, you know, to say that he was a fully formed character then is not true. Whereas the Ed Woosnee character was a fully formed character that morphed along the way. Pastor Rennick then was sort of just a generic screaming guy, just a screaming African-American guy. Was just, you know, what is this shit that I'm... I don't want the fucking... What is this? Top 10 what? 83 Washington Redskins... 84, oh, the best teams that didn't win the Super Bowl? Is that what they're... 84 Miami Dolphins. Number 4, the 98 Minnesota Vikings. Okay, that was at Denny Green. The 2007 New England Patriots. Okay, they lost to the Giants, didn't they, in the Super Bowl? Number 2, the 2013 Denver Broncos with Peyton Manning. Did they... What? I thought they won that year.
What?
And the number 1... whatever the fuck this is supposed to be. It's a Ram team. It's a St. Louis Ram team. I bet you it's the one that lost to the Patriots.
What? What are you talking about?
Come on, Biff Mo. You know that this is secondhand for you.
I don't know. I don't think I'm ready for it.
I don't know what team... What? I think this is the Ram team that lost to the... All right, so, Dick Vermeil's, number 1. 99 St. Louis Rams. What? Wait a minute, man. I got to find out what this is. Oh, wow. I didn't know Kurt Warner was a backup.
Who's that? I mean, Seattle Seahawks running back, right? That's what everybody thought Kurt Warner was.
Top draft pick, Kurt Warner.
Seahawks.
No, Kurt Warner, the guy who used to work at the Hy-Vee grocery store down there at University Avenue.
Kurt Warner, who is very nice, he's like, hey, would you like some paper or some plastic or perhaps some beans?
You know, Kurt Warner, the guy who played arena football and NFL main attractions for the greatest show.
I wish I knew what this was about.
Marshall Falk has left the Falkland Islands and has come over and he is running very nice.
Who the fuck is this guy? This guy's like a Swedish comedian who's a pro football, American football fan.
Because the ability to be a 100-yard rusher and a 100-yard
Ike Reese.
The same game was a threat every game with Marshall Falk.
Marshall Falk's a riot also on NFL Network when he does. So the number one what team of all time? I gotta know. Empty backfield. Were the Rams the first team to do the empty backfield? Well, that he threw it to Isaac Bruce. It wasn't like he wasn't covered. There was a dude right on him. They were playing man coverage. So it didn't fool anybody. Right. At the highest possible, each one of these receivers is covered like a fucking blanket. Just happened to be a really good catch.
The 99 Rams are the greatest offense in NFL history.
Oh, greatest offense. Okay. The greatest offense. Of course. I think you love a team that passes the ball a lot. I think that's what people like. But I like a team that runs, too. And that's why I like the 72, right? Dolphins. Yay. All right. Because they had Paul Warfield, you know. And they had Howard Twilley and all that shit, but they also had running game. All right. So what I was thinking I'd do tonight is use the show as an opportunity to, you know, roll out some of our material. You know, Ed Woosney. And then the third, I said, mentioned the fourth character, I think, was Steve Bozell. Or, oh, no, no. There was a German character. The very first character I did in Atlanta was Hans Geiv. And he was talking about, I forget, but it had to do with the Rodney King trial, which was happening as I went on the air in Atlanta back in 92. And we feel that there should be more police brutality. Some shit that, you know, would play into the audience's anger. Then I believe, and Hans Geib did not survive, is a steady character. I've done this voice with different names and different bits, and it's, you know, it's a real central casting kind of a German voice. Not even a very good one. See, it's sort of changing now. It's British, and it's, you know. Then after Hans Geib came Steve Warnell. Not Steve Bozell, Steve Warnell.
And he talked like this. And, you know,
and I thought I would even just kind of, you know, do the voices. Yeah. Then after Steve Bozell, and that was in Atlanta. Oh, Margaret was in Minnesota. Margaret came, then Minnesota came along, and Margaret Gray, Margaret from Edina. And then came Harvey Wireman, who was named Walter Flowers. No, was it Walter? Yes, this is Walter Flowers. That was his name, Walter Flowers from Brad. And he talked. So there was Margaret, there was Walter Flowers. We had Ed Woosney already. And then came Dr. Jim Sadler. He was Brad from Edina. I guess I should really write this down, man. No, don't. I don't want the notes. So, Raj Fanin. Margaret Gray. Whoops. Whoops. Ed Woosney. Then came I wonder if I could find a Margaret bit from. That's the first show I did on WCCO is what I'm going to be firing out of the gate with Ed Woosney on, but because that's the earliest we've got. But I don't know. I don't know if I got any Margaret on that because it seems to me I did like in those days in Minneapolis I did the entire 5 hours with one character. as insane as it sounds, I did 5 hours of one character. I would do 5 hours of one bit. This bit was the Minnesota bit. Has something to do with Barney the Dinosaur. It was back in 93 when that was still hot. And associating Barney the Dinosaur with the Lizard King that Jim Morrison of the Doors sang about. I am the Lizard King. I can do anything. And that was the demon. And Barney the Dinosaur therefore represented the demon. This is like NFL Films recreated John Randall's boyhood home. And it wasn't a hard thing to do because the guy grew up in one room, in a one-room house. So they just created a soundstage and put together what looks like his boyhood home, but he's crying, looking at all this stuff. Poor kid. Jesus. Man, to overcome all that shit. So Ed Woosney, then it's funny, John Randall, see, when he was drafted, I was 38, so he was, 21. That means I was 17 years older than him. So when I was 28, he was 11. Which means I could have kicked his ass. I could have kicked John Randall's ass. There's a certain point in my life when I could have kicked the ass of every single National Football League player playing. Somebody had a call. That's a bit I had to do,
The fact of the matter is, I could have kicked everyone's ass.
And I think, that would be Dr. Sadler. Phil, I am 57 years old.
Okay.
Which means every single football player in the National... See, even if Jim Sadler is 50,
when he was 20, Tom Brady would have been 11.
I could have kicked Tom Brady's ass. Who's the oldest player in the NFL?
Jesus.
What?
Tom Brady.
What, you making fun of my voice?
Tom Brady.
So I could have kicked his ass. And I said this to Bill Wilson, who was making fun of me because I'm lifting weights. I do a lot of lifting, as you know.
It's true. Doctors, let's make him 53, just so he's 23. Tom Brady would have been 11.
I could have kicked Tom Brady's ass. Every single who's the biggest, baddest football player in the National Football League right now?
The biggest, baddest, I don't know, just some defensive end.
Let's say it's,
I don't know who, I can't. How about Vince Wilfork, the offensive lineman? He's huge.
Vince Wilfork, I could have kicked his ass.
Let me see. Let's see, Margaret Gray, Ed Woosney, John. Wait a second, I already invented Margaret. What am I saying? Margaret and Edina. So Margaret came with me, Ed Woosney. Then I go to Atlanta, and it's Steve. Oh, but then I should put parentheses. Pastor. Dave Del Wagon. So that's a rough guess as to the characters invented in Ventura. And then I went to Atlanta and Steve, Hans Geib doesn't count. I think Steve Wornell. Oh, yeah, that's Minnesota, though. Steve Wornell got to be kind of big time in it. Not big time, but he developed a cult. Sort of a cult listenership, because he was on every Saturday night.
Yeah, I'm Steve Wornell, and welcome here on WSB Radio. And, boy, I tell you, the Daytona 500 is one of the finest things I've ever seen. And people, I got a fair little kind of core listening group. But it was, it was fucking weird. And here's the thing that I always felt about my...
my talk radio career. It was funny, but it was a vicious satire of talk radio. And if you have a talk radio station that you're trying to build up in the eyes and ears of your audience, I don't think there were too many program directors that quite got how that would benefit them. They thought it was actually savaging what they were trying to do, and it wasn't. It was. I think it rounded out the sound of any station that had us. I think it showed that radio station knew where the penultimate was and where the absurd opposite extreme was. You know, I think it showed a lot of awareness. I used to say that the program directors that put our show on were the smartest program directors in the country. Now, you had to obviously market it properly. And I don't think saying that it was, a lot of them said, well, it's the Saturday Night Live of our station. You have NBC, they do all this stuff. Then they have Saturday Night Live. Well, I didn't think that wasn't quite accurate. Because they obviously did other comedy too on NBC. As well as news. So, anyway. Steve Wornell, I'm trying to think of who else in Atlanta. God damn it. I wish I had. I got a friend of mine who's on Facebook who listened to me in Atlanta and still lives in Atlanta, and I could ask them. They wouldn't get back to me tonight, though. They probably wouldn't see it until tomorrow. This is what, I don't know. Atlanta. Yeah.
I did. Well, you don't even know this. This is kind of the voice. This is a voice here that I did.
Paul Tubby Lane also came out of Atlanta.
And Paul Tubby Lane talked like this because he was sort of the original Steve Wornell voice. This is Steve Wornell, and this is what Steve Wornell sounded like. Then Steve Bozell, and then
it came down here. Steve Bozell got into more of an Arcriego thing. So we took that.
Steve Wornell voice was here, and we turned that into Paul Tubby Lane. Daytona 500 is the greatest spectacle in racing. I have so many fond memories of, you know.
God, I wish I could just clear my mind and characters in Atlanta. Paul Tubby Lane and Jarvis Landry, franchise player for the. I guess that's all I'm going to be able to think about tonight. This is, let's see. Pastor William Rennick, because I listened to Hosea Williams. And so I would say that Pastor William Rennick, the character, took shape in Atlanta. Although I never used him in Miami. So I can't really say. Then Miami came along, then Minneapolis came along. Brad from Edina was Dr. Jim Sadler. Margaret, and then Walter Flowers, who became Harvey Wireman. And we had a character, Dave from, he was a Minnesota character like this, you know? Right, Phil? And I guess I just... Dave Oliva, but his name wasn't Oliva, because when he came to L.A., he dropped the Minnesota accent and became Hispanic. And I think that I do a Hispanic accent or an urban American Hispanic accent, and I do that accent way better than I did a Minnesota accent. That character, I tried to bring that character to L.A., that Minnesota character, and it was like, forget it. And then all of a sudden, boom. I don't remember Ted Bell came about in Miami. I gotta remember that. Dave Oliva, who was a Minnesota character by the name of Wyzetta. Maybe it was Dave from Wyzetta, some shit like that. I don't know. Margaret was in Edina. Brad from Edina. Because that's what characters were known back in those days. That's what we identified callers at WCCO. Here's Terry in Columbia Heights. Here's Joey in Edina. Here's Eddie in Wayzata. Here's Dewey, you know, in Brooklyn, whatever. I think, just trying to make sure I got all the Minnesota characters covered. Then came Miami, and Miami had R.C. Collins. That's where R.C. was born. I guess I could think of all the characters that I have. But I don't have my fucking... Jay Santos.
Jay Santos came about... Well, you know, that was L.A.
But R.C. Collins, talking about Miami. Margaret. Mark Barkencroft, who was a dentist, and he became Ted Bell. Brad Rifkin. Only his name was Brad the Booger Belmonte. And, geez, I don't know if this is going to go very well, man, because I got to find bits.
Shit.
It's going to be a long motherfucking show, I'll tell you that, on videocast. And maybe even on audio. Brad Rifkin was in Miami. Mark Barbenheimer, R.C. Collins. Steve Warnell became Steve. He remained Steve Warnell. Didn't become Steve Buzzell until he got to L.A. And then, God damn it. Like, I want to say that's pretty much the extent of that. And then all the other characters that I did... Oh, I had a Chamber of Commerce guy. I don't remember his name and don't really remember the voice I did. The fuck is this? 19th?
One third of all murder cases in America remain open.
He had told me that if I opened my eyes, he would slit my throat.
Each one is called a cold case.
The DNA evidence takes...
All right. Where in the fuck? R.C. Collins. I'll do that. It's almost like an average of 3 characters per city, but I know there are more. Oh, wait a minute, man. I had Ruben Ramon Escobar in Miami. But, you know, he wasn't really... I don't remember him as being a fully developed, solid character. I think it was just like a Hispanic voice I did. Then came L.A., and that everything blew open there. We had... in L.A., we had... Everything kind of changed. Characters' names changed, but we started out with... We had Steve Bozell. We had Art Griego. We had Margaret. Bobby Dooley was the big... Bobby Dooley's probably the best known character that I've ever done. And that character was straight from L.A. That was invented. The first 3 months I was in L.A., that character came about. Because I was listening to this woman on the radio, and she was...
We feel that... my husband feels...
That was the part that really just drove me nuts, because this woman...
My husband feels that seceding from L.A. County, we really think is the best way to do it. We really, really do.
Nobody like Bobby. I mean, shit. It's 85 million fucking characters I come up with in L.A. Bobby Dooley, Dave Oliva, but he was invented in Minnesota, that's right. I'd say Pastor William Rennick came about in L.A. as a fully realized character. Coach Vernon Dozier. Dean Wheeler. Who's the guy that was burning bugs? Who's that fucking character? All right, let's try it, man. Okay, that's how that's going to go. Mang. A reminder that you are watching The Phil Hendry Show.
Ooh-hoo.
Yes, you're watching
Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo.
Phil Hendry.
Ooh-hoo.
Yeah. My friend Ray and I, when we were kids, Ray Bell, my very good friend, who went on to become a trainer of thoroughbred horses, but he had a great sense of humor, and he always did this bit where the guy would sing and then get shot and then go down the scale. So he'd go, ha, 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 ha. And that, of course, we were laughing for years at that one. So there you go. I don't know if this is going to be any good or not.
What I thought I'd do is,
delete? Okay. What I want to do here is close. Delete note. Yes. All right. I'm ready. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. And the 1, 2, 1, 2, 2, 3. Wait.